Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast, Derek Kramer,
Frank Arcuri,
and we come at you Mondays, Thursdays, here on WGR550.com through the on-demand audio. On-demand audio, by the way, is brought to you by Northwest. Make a switch to Northwest, get back to living. Is that the first time I've done a sponsor read in like forever?
Yes.
Probably. Not even that our show is sponsored. On Demand is. I just felt like giving them props. Like a good person. Responsible host. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And we can't have nice things, apparently. Hope is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is pitchfork is named Hope. He stabs you with it until you hurt. Where are you going with this, Derek? Oh, right, UB. Both teams losing in the round of 32. And an unfortunate end for a lot of seniors that really played their hearts out. I mean, the men had a historic season. Sierra Dillard on one leg putting up 29 points for the women. Dang it. Dang it, dang it, dang it. That's what I got to say to that.
Women gave UConn everything they could.
And that's impressive. It's UConn.
And that was, that was extremely impressive.
UConn, who somehow didn't get a one seed, so this is clearly a down year for them.
They probably should have been a one seed anyway. They
should or should not. They're generally the top overall seed.
Yeah.
Historically, recently. They had an entire recruiting class go 4-for-4 for championships.
Yeah.
That's UConn.
I know.
And UB.
They had a win streak that was over 100 games.
That's the team UB had to face for the women. That team. They had to face that team. And if you would have told me that the women would have been the ones to give their tough task their run for the money up to the end of the game, it's not that I wouldn't have believed you. It's that I also think that the men would have done better as well. It would have been a tougher decision to make on that. Because again, and I've said this multiple times, anytime we talk about UB, Felicia Leggett Jack will make you want to run through a brick wall for her.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? They gave UConn everything they can handle because that woman is legendary. Like, if I meet Felicia Leggett Jack, I'm just probably going to end up running through a wall just because, like, she'll say hello, and I'll be like, "You got it, ma'am!" Take off right through a wall. So.
I didn't say run through a wall. Do it again? Okay.
Like, She's that motivational, that inspirational, that, you know,
yeah,
you'd do anything for that woman. And yeah, those players did. And, I mean, both games for UB, the men and the women, major size disadvantage often throughout the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra Dillard ends up banged up.
Yep.
And still comes back to try to put everything she can into it for one last run to make it back to the Sweet 16 against freaking UConn.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you want to know how messed up it is with UConn? The last time UConn won a second-round game by 12 points or less was 1998.
Wow.
UB became the second team to do that.
Wow.
There's your stat of the podcast right there.
Yeah.
I do have to give proper credit, though. Our friend Lindsay Darkangelo from The Athletic dug that one up. And that's just incredible. That is just awe-inspiring right there. That UB is the second team to do that for to UConn since 1998. That's just gross.
It's impressive.
Oh, and by the way, UConn had home court.
Yeah.
Which, of course, they did.
They were on the road. UB was on the road, too.
It was a road game. Yeah. It wasn't a neutral site game. It was in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here, NCAA. Sometimes the way you dog some teams is just ridiculous and favor others. But hey, they give free Wi-Fi to their friggin' students.
Well, I think in the women's, they don't have, like, the brackets go to different places. It's based on home court for the higher seed.
It's still messed up.
It's weird. It's weird that they don't do the same thing for the women's tournament as they do the men's.
Sometimes they cherry pick it for the men too in the opening rounds.
No, but where like UB went to Tulsa, the men's team went to Tulsa for the first two rounds.
And that's closer to.
Right.
Three seed, Texas Tech.
But they didn't have to go to Texas Tech.
No,
to play
yes.
them.
But again, what I'm saying
and
though
Arizona
is.
And Arizona State didn't have to come to Buffalo to play UB.
No, I know. What I'm saying though is the higher seeds sometimes get cherry picked like that too in the men's side. So don't go ahead and say that this is a one sided thing, that it's a women's tournament only problem.
Well, that's all based on two Texas Tech was put in the Western region.
No, I'm again, so, it's one of those things though where. You can kind of cherry pick it to the higher seeds, not playing exactly in their home stadium like UConn did for the women's side, but they make it close enough where travel's not a problem.
Yeah.
Zion and Duke played in South Carolina. How far of a drive is that for Duke fans?
Not long.
Not long at all.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about that one. By the way, though, actually speaking on Duke, the UCF game, I'm not as bitter about either UB team losing compared to how UCF fans should feel about how they lost that game to Duke.
That was insane.
That's just terrible pain.
Yeah.
I would wish that on no one, and I would have hated it if that was UB.
Yeah.
For either of the teams.
Yeah.
That would have sucked royally.
Yeah.
Would have been the worst. All right, Frank, you want to do something stupid?
Wait, now we're doing something stupid?
Yes. First off, we always do. Second off, yes.
What is it?
I'm going to go get our brackets. Bye. All right, Frank, I got our brackets.
You got our brackets.
Yes, I did. So, we're going to see how bad we messed up in the round of 32 here. You ready?
Well... Well,
both of us might have a problem with our West region.
Yeah, we did the. We did
seeing
that
as how UB,
Homer
unfortunately,
thing. Yeah,
does not get through. All right, Frank. Might as well start with the bad part with the West region, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, for me, the West region: Gonzaga, Baylor. All right, cool. Those two are good. Good. Murray State, Florida State. I'm 4-for-4 in the first round here. All right, neat. Buffalo, Texas Tech, Florida, Michigan. I swept the first round, Frank.
Good for you.
Look at me. It's not going to get better from here because only Gonzaga moves on along with Michigan.
Yeah.
Because Murray State did not beat Florida State, and that's what I get for making fun of Florida State. And then UB did not beat Texas Tech.
Yep.
Therefore, they will not beat Michigan, nor will they beat Gonzaga because I'm on drugs. All right. Should we go region at a time for each person?
Can I see mine? You haven't given me my bracket.
Fine.
Thank you.
Have your bracket. You don't have a pen.
It's fine.
I'm going to have to cross them all out. All right, so I guess I'm not going one at a time per region here, am I? No, I'm not. I'm just going to do all of mine, I guess. All right. So first round, Virginia made it. Ole Miss did not.
Nope.
Oregon made it. Kansas State did not. St. Mary's. Why the hell did I pick St. Mary's?
Why did you pick St. Mary's?
I don't know, but Purdue did things.
Yes.
And then Cincinnati got upset by Iowa, who almost upset Tennessee, who I did correctly pick there.
Yep.
North Carolina, Washington. Okay. Okay.
I Auburn. Utah State, but whatever.
Auburn, Kansas.
Yep.
Ohio State beat Iowa State. Thanks, Buckeyes. You are continuing to be the bane of my existence and hatred. Houston. Yep. Seton Hall. Nope.
Nope.
And Kentucky. Yay. Finally, I go up to the East region. We're Duke, and then not VCU.
Not VCU, but UCF.
I did not take into account Taco Fall.
Yeah.
First off, all name team. Second off, way too tall. That man is too tall.
Mm-hmm.
Taco Fall is way too tall. Mississippi State? No.
It was Liberty.
And then Virginia Tech. Yay. Yep.
You got Maryland.
I did get Maryland. It was the first one. So Maryland, and then LSU.
Yep. Then Minnesota beat Louisville.
That was the first game that went final, and I'm like, ooh, I got off to a great start. And then Michigan State did things too. All right. So the Sweet 16. Okay, so Duke went through, yes. I had way too much faith in Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention. Did Maryland win or did LSU win?
LSU won.
All right, so there goes that. And I know Michigan State took off.
Yep.
Already did the West region. Ole Miss still did not do anything, even though Virginia deserves to get laughed at. They are still in the Sweet 16 somehow. And then who won between Oregon and UC Irvine?
Oregon.
Yay! The Ducks continue on. Can they beat Virginia and continue to make a meme out of a number one seed?
That would be great. They did.
That would be great because that would mean another correct pick for me for Oregon.
Same here.
And then we've got Purdue and Tennessee.
Yep.
And then we've got North Carolina.
Playing Auburn.
Why in the hell? Well, the Jayhawks decided to mess up. Nice job, Kansas. And then we got Houston and Kentucky.
Yep.
As of right now, in my round of 16, I've lost six teams. I've got 10 of them right now.
I've lost.
No. I'm going through your bracket right now. Let's do it.
Okay.
All of it. Here we go. So, wow. Really good first round here in the East region, actually. Your only ones were Mississippi State.
Yeah.
No Belmont. No Louisville. Actually, I had a better round. You missed three. I missed two. You have nothing on my perfect West first round because Syracuse did not do a thing.
No.
And Nevada did not do a thing.
No.
Not bad, but still not mine. That first round was perfect. But then again, you look at my South region where I missed four of the games there. That was not great. All right, Frank, let's go to your South region.
Yeah.
Right. Not right. Kansas State messed up everything.
Yeah, they did.
Right. Okay, you got one wrong there, so might as well flip it. And then UNC, not Washington there. So nice job, Frank. Good pick. Not really. Ohio State messed up both of us, and so did Wofford.
Wofford. Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Aha! I won the first round.
Okay.
Woo! Small victories, yeah. Frank. Because this is probably where you pull ahead. You've got Virginia, you've got Oregon, you've got Purdue, you've got Tennessee. You've got a perfect Sweet 16 setup right now.
Yay.
In the South region. And then you've got UNC, not Kansas. Nice job, Kansas. Nope, not Auburn. Iowa State. Nice job, Iowa State. The Buckeyes screwed Frank there.
Yep.
And then Kentucky. Yep. Okay. Duke, Virginia Tech, LSU, not Louisville.
Not Louisville, it's Michigan State.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
You had a lot of faith in Louisville there. Uh-oh. This is where things go.
Yeah, the West bracket's
kind of Gonzaga, Florida State, and then Frank doesn't even have the bottom.
No.
Because somehow you decided to pick Nevada to not just beat Florida, but beat Michigan.
Nevada. I had a lot of faith in Nevada.
Who you claim to be one of the better two seeds, the Wolverines.
Oh, yeah.
And you had them losing to Nevada.
Like I said, I had a lot of faith in Nevada.
And then you won't have UB there. You won't have UB there.
No.
That is unfortunate. So, the Sweet 16 setup. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You beat me by one game there. We are deadlocked even.
Of course we are.
And there is only one consistency here, Frank.
Yeah.
Like, we're deadlocked even. Because there's only one team out of our Elite Eight and one team out of our Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
UB.
Yeah.
Because we like being fans.
Yeah.
So there it is, Frank. We have some differences still to settle, but we are deadlocked even through the first two rounds.
Great. Okay.
And we have different winners, too. So.
Yeah.
We actually have almost an entirely. Nope. We had. Oh. Never mind. Never mind. You have the inside edge.
Bye.
Dumb over here picked Kansas to do things.
Oh, it's. Okay.
And this pen's out of ink.
Yeah.
First off, it's green. Second off, it's dead. My shooting's like UB the other day. Or yesterday. The men, not the women, obviously. But yeah, no. Texas Tech was exactly what you had me worried about, but we still picked through them anyway.
I wasn't...
You said Texas Tech was going to be a toughie.
Yeah.
And that they were a very good defensive team. And I was like... You know what? I don't care. I'm picking UB anyway. And then you did the same thing.
I did the same thing, but I thought UB shooting would be better than what it was, especially early on.
It was not.
Yeah. And you saw that anytime UB got down low in the paint, Texas Tech would swarm.
They also had the size advantage unlike any other.
Yeah, because they have the size advantage, that was their game plan.
It hurts.
And because they did it so early and so much, UB had trouble establishing themselves.
But
then when they tried to get the shots off, they couldn't get them.
But early on, UB came back from 13 down to take the lead for the only time.
Yeah. They had their run.
They had their run. What happened was after that run, they couldn't hit a field goal for the life of them.
Yep.
And that is what undid them. I think I remember seeing something about like a 21-3 run by Texas Tech that just obviously undoes anything that you could do. So it's a tough end to a great season for both of these teams. The women put up a fight against UConn. But it's not enough against one of the most storied programs in all of women's basketball. The men can't do anything against a very defensively stingy Texas Tech. Texas Tech made them play their game. And the Bulls don't do well when they don't score points. So that's that. It's unfortunate. Like I said, it was a great season for UB, and that's something that cannot be ignored.
Oh, no, it can't.
And everyone's going to see how it ended when they go out here on a whimper, and they're going to think, oh, what a flop of a season. You know, typical Buffalo team sort of finish. And no, it's not really. I mean,
yeah.
It's going to end in disappointment for all but one team in the entire country.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of schools. that would love nothing more than to win an NCAA championship, no matter what their division is.
The problem is no matter how good you are as a mid-major school, the Power Five conferences always reign supreme every year.
They can recruit.
Because they recruit. No, it's not about they can recruit. It's about they recruit better players. Because all the best high school recruits want to go to those schools.
Yep.
They don't want to go to a UB. They don't want to go to any other team in the MAC or in the BAC.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But they don't want to go to those schools. UB always is going to be victim of getting the second layer of recruits. And you can get, and it's not like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just in basketball you win with star power. In college, in the NBA, it's you see it night in and night out, obviously. In college it's not as there, but you see it, but you're seeing it this year with Zion and Duke.
Yeah. The other thing is this. There's only one mid-major that really can consistently make noise and consistently get top five recruits right now. That's Gonzaga.
Yeah.
But Gonzaga's been doing this for years and years and years.
They've had sustained success for a long time.
They've had sustained success, and they've established themselves as a powerhouse.
Yes.
Which is the goal
for
a mid-major, to try to be a Gonzaga-esque team. Sometimes you fade out of the picture, like Butler, when you lose your amazing coach to the Boston Celtics. Thanks, Boston. You ruin everything once again. So, yeah, no, it was a rough ending, but I would rather take fading off than losing by 1 point on a missed tip after a missed shot. Both of which should have gone in.
Oof, man.
Voodoo, wizardry, and bullcrap. That's what happened to UCF.
Yep.
Those are the only three reasons I could think of as to why neither of those shots at the end of the game fell in.
Yeah.
However, UCF did do it to themselves a little bit as well. Why the hell are you going up for an alley-oop when you're up by four? You put that game to six, that's almost salting. Instead, Duke comes back around and makes it a one-point game. And then your tall taco fouls Zion, who gets them eventually to the lead. And then you don't have your waterfall to use for the final possession of the game.
Yeah.
That man, I'm still not over that. How tall that man is, Taco Fall. He is too tall.
He's tall.
7'6".
Yeah.
Like, what?
Did you see the picture of
him? Are there NBA players that are often that tall?
How tall was Yao Ming?
Pretty much that. Oh, you have the computer. Still freakish.
Seven, six.
Good Lord. The man is as tall as Yao Ming.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here, man. All right. But yeah, no. It's still incredible.
He's an 8 foot. I think they said it was like an 8 foot six wingspan as well.
He doesn't even have to jump to dunk the ball.
No.
It's whack.
Did you see the picture of him on his knees and he's still as tall as most players?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's incredible. That dude is a wonder, a genetic wonder. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it. You know, we have to stop, because I just said it earlier. We need to stop calling people freaks for just being abnormally tall. That's just a genetic wonder.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
Yeah.
Good Lord. All right. I think I'm done talking about college hoops right now. I'm still salty because I got one last thing to say. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Texas Tech sucks butts. I don't know. Oh yeah, you guys have you guys had Mike Leach. Suck it. And UConn, you guys are the best women's program in women's basketball.
History.
Oh, yeah? Well, you guys are the best program in women's college basketball history, and you're only a 2 seed this year. Take that. And your mother. And your mother. All your mothers. Those are my final words for Texas Tech and UConn.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything. We're going to leave it at that.
You're not going to say anything? Well, guess what? And your mother.
Why?
Is a very nice lady.
Yeah, she is.
But you know who else? And Phil Housley's mother. Yeah, I went there. Because he's going to scratch a rookie center with 7 games left in the season. Like, what is the point?
He's officially gone mad.
What is the point? If you're going to rest him, because say rest is the main reason. Because, yes, playing in a college schedule, going from college schedule to pro schedule is not going to be easy. We saw it with Brock Besser, actually, in his rookie year with Vancouver. But they were scratching him earlier in the season.
Yeah. Not later.
Not later, when he can actually use the time.
Yeah.
And we're going to see Lawrence Pilot probably on the third pairing. Because he's been recalled.
Yes.
Or maybe even in the press box. Who knows? Bogosian might play. And I know I don't want to put too many lefties in the lineup. Dude! If you do both of these things, scratching Mittelstadt and Pilot, I want you on the next rocket ship to the freaking sun! And take Gary Bettman with you.
Please.
So yeah, there's that. We can look forward to tons of happy times against the Devils tonight. Yay!
Yay!
There is some good news, though.
There is?
Alex Nylander's looking like a thing.
He is.
And a good thing.
Yeah.
Seriously, the magic of turning 21 has just been a wonder for Alex Nylander. Duke can swig some wobbly pops and score goals. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. So, Alex Nylander, though, now next season, though, not only looks like a player that will be on the roster, could contend for top 6 minutes, depending on who the coach is.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
I'm encouraged. Mm-hmm. I like what I'm seeing there with Alex Nylander. I liked what I saw from him in the preseason, as a matter of fact. So I'm staying kind of consistent on this damn tone of mine, aren't I?
You are?
Because I remember I put up an article saying that there was a case for Alex Nylander to make the roster. And, of course, staying consistent with my values, one of the players I suggested they should have sent down was Semyus Girgensons. Sometimes I'm anything but just consistent, Frank.
Sometimes?
Okay, most of the time I'm consistent with my thoughts. I could be wrong about them, but damn it, I will be consistent. Stick to your beliefs. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. But Nylander's actually looking very promising. I'm liking what I'm seeing there. I'm very confused as to why the hell this defense continues, though, to let players wide open to score goals. You are a defensive coach. You are a Hall of Fame defenseman. Yes, you were one of the best offensive defensemen in the history of the NHL, but you were still, at the end of the day, a defenseman. Why the hell does the defense suck, Chunks?
It's a question we'll never have an answer for.
It's a question I want an answer for.
We all do.
I need it.
I texted you yesterday saying I am now 99% on the wagon of Housley getting fired.
Honestly, I don't know what to think anymore. I could see him coming back just because reasons.
As I said, as I've been saying too, though, at the same time, if Batra believes in Housley, he's going to stay. If he doesn't, he's getting fired. I know Paul talked about after I think it was the Toronto loss. He said they may have to. It might be more of where
the Sabres have won 14 of their last 49 games.
Yeah,
that is at the end of the day,
fireable
for most teams, a fireable offense.
Yeah.
Granted, Hugh Jackson would have killed to win 14 of 49 games, but
yeah, he'd have killed it just to win.
A,
six.
That's a different sport, and B, and B, again, it's just one of those things where the team just they look lost.
Yeah. It's really become apparent that the players are not responding to Housley's coaching.
Either that or they're lost.
They're lost because they can't respond to – because they constantly don't know what to do. When you get asked to do something and you don't know what to – and you don't know how to do it, what are you going to do when you go to try and do it? You're going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to respond. You need to respond well.
Or you're just going to fail.
Yeah.
Immensely.
Yeah. I will still say the players aren't good enough. But at the same time, it's a constant thing night in, night out, and there doesn't seem to be any signs of improvement.
At the same time, there was a part of the season where we would have killed for the Sabres to score 4 goals.
Yeah.
And they give up a touchdown.
Yeah.
You want to talk about playing out the string. That is the Sabre season.
Games where you win 2-1, and then...
When the hell have they won a game 2-1 recently? Or even in their 14 wins since the winning streak?
I was talking about the winning streak.
Right.
2-1, 3-2. And then after that, yeah, they had the trouble. They had the trouble with the secondary scoring, and then... But even then, those games that they were losing were more 3-2, 4-2 games. And they start to get some secondary scoring, and now they can't prevent goals from going in their net.
Yeah. Whether it's the goaltending or the defense, I don't know who to blame more at this point, but I do know this. It's not good. Make it stop. We've only got a couple of weeks left.
It just shows that the team is just... The team was going to be – inconsistency was going to be a problem for this team.
This is not inconsistency anymore, Frank.
That's exactly it. But that's exactly it. Inconsistency was going to be a problem heading into the year. Now, this is not inconsistent. This is just bad.
It's consistently bad.
Yeah.
It is inconsistently inconsistent.
Inconsistency means you have high points and low points, but you're still getting – but you can get better from them.
But it's constant.
Like yeah.
The inconsistency becomes constant.
Yes.
Whereas right now, the only thing that's inconsistent is their inconsistency.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yo, dog, I heard you like some inconsistency. Might as well put some inconsistency on your inconsistency.
Insert Inception joke here.
Bwah.
No, but it, you know, I was on board with keeping Housley, but
it started that way with me too.
Yeah, but now it's quickly gone to.
But for me,
I will agree with Paul Hamilton when he says they may have to. It might be they have no choice but to fire him.
And again, that's what happens when you win only 14 of the last 49 games.
Yeah.
They're tied with the Rangers now in the standings. Do you remember something that I said earlier in the podcast
when they started the slide? Yeah, if the Rangers caught up to you, then
if the Rangers catch up to you, then you're cooked. Guess what? The Sabres just happen to be out of playoff contention now.
Yeah.
And they're now with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you couldn't even beat the freaking Rangers. They did it once this year.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop-de-doo. So your team is now as bad as the Rangers. And granted, it's a good thing that I don't have to call it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's already been called officially.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
Dunyans. Cooked. Gone. See ya. Hasta la vista. You're gone. You're walking away from it like Gronkowski with the Patriots, and that's the segue.
I was going to say, though.
No, Frank, that's the segue. I'm done talking about the Sabres. I'm done with them. They're done with me this season, apparently, so I'm done with them. They're going to scratch a freaking... I guess this isn't the segue. Nah, you did it. They're going to scratch
fault.
Their freaking first-round pick from last year. Healthy scratch him because of the fact that, oh, he's been playing a lot of games and everything like that, and he needs some rest, and you know what? Just end the season already. Just end it. End our misery.
I was going to say.
End our pain.
This offseason is going to be very important for Botrell's future.
I want Kaapo Kakko because that's an awesome name.
It is an awesome name.
Also, I don't think that we should be getting another first overall pick. We're not deserving of it. Then again, neither was Edmonton. Are we the new Edmonton? Are we the new Edmonton?
Hopefully not yet.
We would need to win more draft lotteries to do that.
Yeah.
That's a burn, Oilers. You kept the stupid GM for one too many years. But then again, so did we. Crap, we're Edmonton Light.
We're the Edmonton of the East.
We're Edmonton Light.
Yeah.
Not quite all of the terror of trading Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. But
signing Milan Lucic and now currently, just as Buffalo is wasting Jack Eichel, they are wasting Connor McDavid.
But those moves can be given back with a, we did trade Ryan O'Reilly for a pair of bona fide scrubs, a young guy who's tall and not fully developed yet, and a first-round pick. Meanwhile, Ryan O'Reilly's having a career year. And then for your Milan Lucic contract, we see you a lighter version of that, of a not as terrible but still pretty bad contract of Kyle Oposo. Granted, that was caused by health issues, not just because that
he's bad.
Oposo's a plug,
yeah,
like Lucic is. Yeah, I said that. Fight me. No, don't fight me. You'd probably destroy me, Lucic. But my point remains. They've got bad situations that are, while not as much of the cap hell as Edmonton is heading towards.
They are in it right now.
That's true. They couldn't recall Andre Sekera for a large part of the season until they waived players that they had traded for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, Brandon Manning was sitting in the press box in the AHL. So we're not there yet. But Edmonton can always counter back with, oh yeah, we made the playoffs recently. What about you? No. We have the Bills?
Yeah. Man.
I hate this team.
Mm-hmm. You said it earlier. You said it earlier in the
Make
year.
It stop.
This team is stupid. They're just stupid.
This team is stupid, and we're all stupid for hoping that they wouldn't be stupid. Everything is stupid.
Yeah.
Life is stupid. What? let's talk about happier things.
Okay.
We don't have to deal with Rob Gronkowski anymore. As a New England Patriot.
Yeah. Congrats to him. Seriously. I know he tormented the Bills, but he's a home team.
Tormented me, Frank, personally.
I know he did. I know.
He can still go to hell for that, even though I'm very unathletic. And he wouldn't.
You can at least say that you got trucked by a Hall of Fame.
I didn't get trucked. I just got mossed.
You got mossed by a Hall of Fame player.
Awesome. And the greatest part about it is that he will never remember this because...
No, he won't.
He's done it to professionals.
Yeah.
So my hatred for Rob Gronkowski stems from 2006. When I played in a football game against him in high school. It didn't end well for me. Largely because I'm 5'11 and not that athletic. Eventually becoming a defensive lineman.
And he is.
But my stint at linebacker did not end well.
No.
How's that? So there's the SparkNotes version of that story. And then after that, it became, oh, he's a New England Patriot. Great. Now I have to hate this guy. More so than I already shouldn't have to be hating him, but I do, like, low-key hate him for it. I jokingly say this, of course, because, I mean, who the hell cares about high school football? Other than people that still wear their varsity jacket everywhere and should just be an unnecessary nuisance to the world itself. I just like to bring it up as something that I can relate to professionals.
Imagine if the Bills had drafted him. He went one pick after
Terrell Troop.
Yep.
I mean, you can imagine it, but at the same time,
that would have been a heck of a story.
Would have been a heck of a story. But again, Buffalo's quarterbacks are also not the greatest of all time.
Oh, no, no, of course not.
So, what are you going to really do about it?
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know about probably. I'd say there's a decent shot because there are guys that are waiting that should get in.
Yeah.
So let's visit this one 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
But I'd punt that question to 5 years down the road.
I'm gonna give it a few months.
For people that are angry about, you know, the cheap shot to Tre'Davious White, I can guarantee you now that it's done, it's over with, and the man has retired, it's not going to come up anymore. Was it a dirty play? Absolutely. Should everyone hate him for it at that time? Sure. Should he have been suspended? Yes. But when the play happens, it's done, it's over with. Unless he brags about blasting Tre'Davious White in the head to this day, kind of like how Antonio Brown's bragging about the fact that he didn't go to the Bills. Well, you know what? I don't need to carry that grudge anymore with him. It was a bad play. Is it what he should be remembered for? No. It's the only time he's ever really done anything that malicious.
Yeah.
To me and to probably everyone else in the entire country. He's just a fun-loving derp that's really good at football. It was a very uncharacteristic play from him, and I'm sure that he had the remorse from it like a normal person would, and we're done. He doesn't bring it up as something like a crowning career achievement, you know?
So
it is what it is. It happened, and you should be pissed about the hit, but do we need to carry it forever and ever? No. I say this as I mockingly brought up the fact that I've gotten mossed by the man more than 10 years ago.
So Drew Rosenhaus, who's Gronk's agent, had said this, I believe, earlier today. If the team was struggling or they needed him at some point next season, Brady could hypothetically call him and say, hey, we need you for a few games, and he wouldn't be shocked if he came back to play.
So it might be a Brett Favre retirement is what you're telling me.
Could
Whereas we're not sure.
Could be, but Rosenhaus also said you could see Gronk getting into acting and
wrestling.
Yes. Yo, if he joined the WWE, that'd be amazing.
You see, here's my thing. Rob Gronkowski's brand is very much that of a meathead.
So he'd be perfect for the WWE.
Which is why on June 9th, I would expect that announcement to be made.
Ha ha ha.
I'm being as simply blunt as I can about that.
Oh, I know. Jeremy also posted, in 15 career games against the Bills, Gronk had 1,070 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 69 catches.
Because of course.
Yeah, because of course.
Just because of course. That's what that's exactly how things would end up going down.
Of course it's that.
Of course it happens like that. Because Gronk logic defies normal logic. It's just what happens. You can't explain it. The man was happy when he had 69 career touchdowns.
Yeah.
So like I said, I fully expect his announcement to join the WWE to be on June 9th.
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
He had one of the best careers of a tight end in the NFL.
Yeah.
I am very happy I don't have to see him terrorize the Bills twice a year.
Yeah.
And if it's true that he's been living on endorsement money, which is pretty buku bucks when you're a player of the stature of Rob Gronkowski, and he hasn't used any of his contract money, well, he's got plenty of money to go ahead and live the rest of his life on.
Mm-hmm.
Which would also portray a smarter side of Rob Gronkowski that people don't expect. If he's capable of saving that money and following smart financial advice. Right?
Yeah.
That would portray someone who, yeah, he's definitely a meathead, but he actually followed some pretty sound advice.
Yeah.
Which I would tip my cap to him for.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also be the only thing I tip my cap to him for. Enjoy retirement, Rob Gronkowski. And I'm fairly certain that we will be seeing you in the near future doing something. And I'm pretty sure that, you know what? Now that you're not a Patriot, half of Bills fans already hate you less already. Congratulations. You're already being accepted more to your community just by leaving New England.
Yeah.
Leaving the Patriots. Being done with that. There'll be half of the fan base that goes, oh, okay, he's gone. When's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? No, seriously.
That's the more important
No,
one.
Seriously, when is Tom Brady and Belichick's announcement going to come?
Yeah.
When are those coming?
That's more
no,
important.
No, seriously, I'm not kidding.
That's
but seriously.
More important.
But seriously. When are they announcing their retirement? They need to walk away. They've done enough. Seriously. You got anything else, Frank? Because I do.
Yeah?
I got one more thing.
You got one more thing?
I got one more thing.
What's your one more
Our
thing?
Our usual plug. I took part in a captain's skate yesterday.
How was
it? 11-day power play. I was easily the worst person on the ice. I could point to every person on the bench and be like, I screwed up a scoring chance from you. I scored up three scoring chances from you. You set me up four times, and I messed up all of them. Like, I'm not kidding. I was the worst person out there, and it was not even close. Luckily, I don't have to face any of those guys during our shifts for the 11-day power play. That's refreshing for me. But seriously, funds benefit research to take on cancer at Roswell Park. They also support Camp Good Days, and they support Make-A-Wish Foundation. They help families with those affected by cancer to try to, you know, allow them to live a normal life, even if only for a week or so, before they have to go back to the hell of dealing with cancer. So donate. The page is pinned to our Twitter site handles. Mine is at DerekKramer49.
Mine is at Frank R. Curry.
We'll be hammering the heck out of it. And I genuinely hope you're not sick of us saying that, because that would be terrible. You know, that'd be a pretty not cool thing. But donate to the 11-day power play. We take the ice. I take the ice on the 10th of July, as well as the 11th of July. And I'm not sure if Frank's going to be there for the 10th, but I know he's going to be there on that morning of 7-11. Yo, we can get Slurpees that day.
We'll be able to get Slurpees after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to end it on that with the thought of Slurpees apiece.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.